Live audience! Don't worry, I'll mix it in later. My Day Off, episode 12. Huge internets of things give rise to greater conurbations of herded, cow-towering rages, like bulls whose framed stories stare back at us from black and white memories and dismiss our pain with single image glory. That sounded a bit like Boris Johnson. While in the desert, long after people have moved on to other stories of sport and individual failings, a man is burned who burned others, and the eyes of the world watch an eye for an eye reenacted in a retributive waltz of things made up from the deep well of nothing to which we all, one day, veer. Into the verge are pregnancies belittled by atrocities and fairy tale endings that have no outline in the words shaking us from passion about chocolate, to the unique designs that can be found on toenails and fingers, things that celebrate the fleeting us in the dark, in the hollowed out sense of armies marching as in older times, as if they were of moral ground, and over it they steal territory until the smallest enclave of self itself is threatened. And there, surrounded, ammunition exhausted, that last redoubt of thought considers the end in sight, and with what remains of its own influence vanishes from its uniform and mingles unnoticed amongst the invading hordes. There, from dark to light, shadow-formed imitations of long-forgotten heroic lumps of hammering fists come down the drawn-out lines of pencil, forming beauty, admired and forgotten in vaults, proclaiming power over invaluable cars, mummified remains, and collections of stamps. Ephemera powering the lights and interventions, treasures blocking rhythms and rhymes the way illiteracy blocks spelling. Ah, said the bard, it's best to keep a pile of peonies in the chamber pot, if you get my continental drift, old man, woman, boy, girl, stranger then amongst men. And bard-like in appearance, like a ghost in Hamlet he went. You shall be saved, if only by the rock god stationed above you, electric guitar in hand, and blowing their unspoken wads on the price of a pint, 3 days of betting, and the cost of princesses in waiting. Just saying. Well, said the station manager to all the former clients known as passengers. Could we wait here for the train? Said one with no heart, no brain, who was much too shy. Let me see, said the manager, on pausing, and after dramatic effect of a moment, said, tickets, please! Upon which a flock of flying primates filled the sky with the raucous outpourings of grief, for the witch, you see, had lost her shoes, and in the nick of time, a lone woodsman, the colour of jade, had espied her trenchant noise upon the bedfellow human of electric ballroom disaster, and realized the whole crowd had been high on acid for the last 20 years. There they were, roundhoused and worried about waking on the tortured path from youth to youth, stuffing wild mushrooms into the mouths of a few wanton exclamation points made in a frenzy of thought processes down at the local Brain of Britain quiz night, with complimentary ales and those dimpled glasses with handles that are all the rage, being seen to sit well with full-arm tattoos and Victorian beards. We trundle past the billboard hoardings, homeless charities with begging bowl fixtures and regular pitches nailed to the uprights like crucifixes in a secular world, and then the whole idea of religion became an idea that things are always as they seem, if you think they are enough. And the whole class put up their hand in unison to say, "Please, can I leave the room?" As we hadn't counted on immature bladders when we'd asked everyone to have a seat at the table or pull up a stool in the corner of the boxing rings. So I said, "Look." Then the bell went off. Ding! Not that I was bothered, but the whole school jumped up as if someone had attached electrodes to their genital. And I said, "Hang on, you can't just leave." And they said, "Just watch me." So we never got where we were headed, or anywhere else we might have ended up. But that was the nature of things when all was said and done. There wasn't a lot left to say. That was how my day off was going, where it was headed, where what was became what should have been had I anything to do with it, like instinctive bowel movements and yawning. It was not necessarily conducive to waking in the middle of the night, cold sweat in hand, judging colours by the names on the box until the entire tray of crayons tipped out of the paint charts, and my song, our song, that song we sing when we wish to remember who we are at birthdays, weddings, or funerals, reminds us of our atheist roots, where no roots have been before, except the dark ones beneath the sky grey dye of my wiry Einsteinian afro that sprouts out of my head like a heroic ball of static electricity. Wending a path the way a stream wends the Grand Canyon, our time on Earth conserved into the smallest of minutes in the scheme of things. If schemes had watches or clock face apps that told the time in different countries and continued to work even though there was no one about to experience time. The great existential threat to one and all above the strange states being warriored about in the desert plains, where millions wish no more to be. There, in our great contest between Needle Eye and Camel Spout, forth the oasis of calm to which our spot-checking border guards look when inspecting beneath vehicles for car bombs and refugees on my day off. The rough and tumble of international diplomacy, played out while normality shakes his head into madness, leave the room scowling at the press, having reduced themselves from world leader to sex addict, faster than a pot of marmalade left to simmer. Throw another bomb, get another cage, ridicule the soft belly of peace in our time, and hide beneath a chorus of black cloth, imagining yourself as the Turin's shroud, false economies, gods, hecklers and hoods amongst the land of plenty where everything that can go wrong did, until our life beneath the stars unveiled a system so transporting that we believed, thought could take us anywhere. Then came the bill, and who would have thought so much could be used by so few for so little, or that one might need to tip. On screen, space littered our conscious the way satellite shrapnel litters our planet, and gushing from the plight of overworked ideologies comes back to me, plain sailor in buckets of ice, nasty, brutish, short, willing 1,000 words to arrive before a single one is said. And there, at the house, so white it is beyond pale, the dark man, confused by his office and his home, stood gazing into the distance where someone shouted at the podium, all eyes and ears stuck to it like glue in the face of 1,000 other astonished lookers that something might be wrong, that a mistake was made and it was them or us, the camera's fidget, the snap-snap of bloggers trying to get a look in, the man stood on the sinking seal, the man with the podium eye smile, the man, he of the cartoon waving placards, he of hope, he of diversity and growing confusion, he of mild panic and milder will. Having done, expunges the waif, off with his head, like in celebrated awe, shock and awe. The way a presiding king can decree the realm threatened and in need of change. He of the Never-Poor, on my day off, he threw me out of the palace, and I wandered lonely as a cloud from sky to sea. If only the silence could more accurately describe the idea of utopia that my conjuring soul had dragged up from down below. Not that down below. I thought long and hard about the escapist ideology of both erotica and science fiction. Imagining sex in space where no one can hear you scream and shaving your legs can prove more than problematic. Into that world of wonder, at the state of things to come, I pushed my burgeoning sense of guilt about having too much time to myself on this, my day off. Naturally, I wasn't to know that this was to be the last time that time itself was to be included in my day at all. Henceforth, to wit and to woo, time was to be subtracted annually from my gross and estimated based on my net, until a mean could be found that was so mean it meant that I had no time for myself at all. There they were, boat people, stranded as sea legs in a chair, a thousand hues of them bobbing on the shoreline, watching the car people sweep by, transported from one side of the ocean to another in a continual state of renewal, as old cars rusted in their parking spaces, outside giant food stores, where people with incomes roamed freely amongst the shoplifters, gathering up the calories required to last an entire meal, if not the whole lost weekend. Crowds of climate refugees lining the concrete barriers, wishing for nothing more than a job in a place like that, where they could get out of the sun, live in the concrete themselves, and have enough drinking water while they looked at pictures of food. Here I was, emerging into the day with a bag of cereal boxes and toilet rolls, feeling as if I had forgotten something. Over there, a homeless person, whom I once gave a home to. Here, a sorry-looking waif, who I once gave a wafer to. And then a queue of politely clad people, shouting abuse at me for bothering with forgotten waifs, when there is an entire continent to extract ourselves from, if not our finite resources. What was I thinking, I thought. If it was really me thinking, who was I then? Where will it end? Would it? And what, if anything, is the square root of 9,543? I gathered up my belongings and wished that I could write music and sing songs in a nay, nonny, nay, nonny, nay kind of way. But I was destined for other things, other lyrics, other earwormish botherings. Just then, the car before me flashed its lights knowingly as I pressed an imaginary fob in my pocket. Up went the pedestrian lights as that flashing car opened its top like a cabriolet can of sardines, and into it I hurled frustrated abuse about the state of the oil-based world economy along with my own shopping. Angry that I was part of the problem, I revved the engine, burning millions of years of fossil fuel and rubber as I escaped the madness of the out-of-town food chain. I turned the radio on full and sped away from the food and problems of this world, like an American novel about troubled youth and how my parents just don't understand me. I promised never to let anyone read what I wrote ever again, and that I would burn any evidence of my self-expression along with a bag of charcoal I had bought from the barbecue. It was never enough. Enough was not enough. And I had had enough. Enough! I screamed at the radio talk show host, trying to invade my thoughts. Stop prancing on about what makes a good nanny and why phonetics has changed the world of childhood forever. After all, who's in the driving seat, I'd like to know. And there, in a minute of time, everything began to flash before my eyes, including the traffic. And my great escape was only a prelude of lesser escapes to come. Before the hush, hush of night on my next day off. My name is Mac Dunlop. Thanks for listening. Well, you are really marathon runners.